Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
So our app was kind of tangled up in the app store and you couldn't get to it, but now you can. So you can download that. You'll see sermon notes in there every week, places you can sign up for events like Starting Points, other things that are coming up. We're going to be Exodus chapter 1. You'll see a sermon title there, Faithful in Every Season. We're going to look and just be reminded of the faithfulness of God today. And sometimes in our life, I don't know about you, but have you ever had a time where you're not able to see really clearly in the moment? Sometimes where you really are just missing some of the moments and you need to step back just a little bit. Chris and I, we had the opportunity this week to be part of a cohort that'll last for about another 12 months where we were able really to just learn from and pray with and be encouraged by. There's some really great leaders in our state, people that are serving in churches where God's just working in an incredible way. And so we were really encouraged and blessed to do that. We had the opportunity as part of that. We actually met in kind of a central location for all these churches, some from Greensboro, some from Boone, just different places around. We met at this airport, the Shelby Airport, and I was like, man, why are we going there, right? But had an incredible conference room, so we were able to just to be there and be part of that. And then we had this blessing, right, and this privilege, this opportunity to go up in a plane. There was a ministry called Compass Ministries there. They are a bush pilot training center, and so they have pilots that are coming in and being equipped and learning to be able to fly missionaries into some of the remotest parts of the earth, right? And just this incredible reminder of what God is doing. And so they were training these pilots. Just a little free side note that really convicted my heart. One of those pilots was sharing some statistics about unreached people, how many people have the scriptures, and just talking about some of those things. And then he shared a statistic that penetrated pretty deep in my heart. And he said this, he said, did you know that Americans spend more on Halloween costumes for their pets than to see the gospel go to unreached people all over the world? So we had this moment where we got to be with some of these pilots and they would take us up. You'll see a picture there probably of the plane that we were able to be part of. And so they had these planes there and these guys. And so it was one of those moments where when we got in, I'd never been in a small plane before, been in some big planes, but you know, there's a little bit of like, what's this small plane thing going to be like? And I'm looking like there's just one propeller. And he's like, but you know, he said, we have two sets of spark plugs. We have two sets of ignition. I'm like, well, that's really good. I'm glad about that. And so, and then we're in, and he probably recognizes I'm kind of watching this one gauge. You'll see the little gauge. I took a picture of it. He probably saw me doing that. And what that gauge was also doing, the places that are red was flashing, and we put on these little cool headphones. You can talk to each other, and in those headphones, it's going beep, 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 beep. And since it's red and all that, I'm thinking it's probably not good. And so he sees me looking at it, and he says, yeah, he says, don't worry about that. He said, we're going to fix that on the next maintenance of the plane. Which, if I'm honest, that really wasn't that comforting to me. But when he gave it some more gas, right, and we lifted up off the ground, right, it was beautiful. You'll see a little picture I took, and I've got some videos and different things along that journey. But I saw this picture, right, and in the middle of that moment, it was this kind of neat perspective, right? I'd been kind of focused on all these other things, and as I looked up, man, I saw a bigger picture of this area that was there. I was able to see the way the land was laid, the river, right? And I was able to just kind of get this high view, this perspective that was really neat. Everything just kind of fit into place. And I was thinking, right, it's a great reminder that sometimes we need to just step back and see that God is doing a big work, right? Things that we really can't always see, and trust that the bigger picture, right, is in His hands. Now, what I know about a people like us, right, life can feel heavy. We can be weighed down with all kinds of burdens, sickness, financial stresses, right, uncertainty. We could go through so many things. Ron Gentry was praying in our earliest service, and he said, God, I ask you to help all these people who are walking through all these difficult things. He said, I know we all are. And so there's this reality, right, that we may face difficult things. For these Israelites, as we look at Exodus chapter 1, we're going to see that they had gone through a season of blessing, and now they were in a season of heavy burden, right? Things had changed for them, but even in this bitterness, right, this time that they were walking in, God was at work. And I hope we can see that today. And as we walk through this series, right, Traveling Light, we're going to look at the book of Exodus. And we're going to see some really key things about our great God. There's kind of a series statement that I'm going to put on the screen or have put on the screen. And it's kind of a big picture, kind of this airplane view of what we're going to see in the book of Exodus. And we're going to see that God delivers, directs, and dwells with his people, causing us to trust him, lay down our burdens, and walk faithfully in his presence. So we're going to see that as we walk through Exodus. And this week, as we kind of zoom in a little closer in this chapter, we want to see and remember the faithfulness of God. There's a big idea statement that's in the app and also on the screen. And it says this: God's faithfulness is the foundation of our faith. He sees, remains present with, and works on behalf of his people, always keeping his promises. And aren't you glad we have a faithful God? Will you stand in honor of that faithful God as we open the Word of God? We'll read verses 1 to 14 this morning. And as always, as soon as we finish, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 will be on the screen as well. And I encourage you just to say that verse with me. Beginning in verse 1, we read this: "Now these are the names of the sons of Israel who came to Egypt with Jacob. They came each one with his household: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. All the persons who came from the loins of Jacob were 70 in number, but Joseph was already in Egypt. Joseph died, and all his brothers and all that generation. But the sons of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly and multiplied and became exceedingly mighty, so that the land was filled with them. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, 'Behold, the people of the sons of Israel are more and mightier than we are. Come, let us deal wisely with them, or else they will multiply, and in the event of war, they will also join themselves to those who hate us and fight against us and depart from the land.' So they appointed taskmasters over them to afflict them with hard labor. And they built for Pharaoh storage cities, Pithom and Ramses. And the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied. And the more they spread out, so that they were in dread of the sons of Israel. The Egyptians compelled the sons of Israel to labor rigorously, and they made their lives bitter with hard labor and mortar and bricks and all kinds of labor in the field. And all their labors, which they rigorously imposed on them. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Will you pray with me? Holy God, we are so thankful. God, we're thankful for your word. God, we recognize that apart from your word, God, we wouldn't know who you are. God, you have revealed yourself to us. You've shown us your faithfulness. God, we've seen it in your word, and we've seen it in our lives. God, we're reminded that you see us, Lord, and that you're working. God, even when we can't see it, Lord, we think of those who are maybe burdened this morning, those in need of care and a touch from you, Lord. We think of Gary Setzer, Lord. We think of Billy Klimas. We think of others that, God, are maybe going through difficult moments this morning. And God, we pray that your presence would be powerful with them, God. And we know that you are faithful and you are working all things together, God, for our good and your glory. And as we begin this journey, God, I pray you would open our eyes to see your faithfulness, Lord. And as a response to that, Lord, we would, Lord, serve you with everything that we have. Lord, in light of your grace, in light of your mercy, God, I pray if there's someone here that has never responded to your gospel, Lord, that today would be the day of salvation, that they might repent of their sins and trust you as Lord. And God, we love you, we thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated this morning. As we jump into the word, we see this first point, point number one, that we can rely on God's provision. And there's this truth that God provides for his people, right? I love that new song, and what a great Sunday for that to kick off. It wasn't intended that way necessarily, but it's neat to see how God has allowed those things to work together. We see in verse 1, the beginning of this chapter says, "Now these are the names of the sons of Israel," right? This connects this story to a greater story. And so we see at the end part of the book of Genesis, and we're not going to have time really to lay a foundation. I encourage you to read over these next weeks the Genesis, to lean in kind of where we're at in Exodus and just prepare your hearts. But you're going to see that there's a faithful God, right? And this faithful God is a covenant-keeping God. We're going to see there's an unfaithful people, right? A people from the beginning. We see these kind of four waves, right? There was creation, right? Where God made everything. Formation, we might say, so it matches with letters, right? But God formed everything. Formation. And then there was a rebellion, right? And sinful humanity, right? They rebelled against a holy God and disobeyed. And there was a fall, right? And this fall resulted in brokenness. And we continue to experience the results of that fall. We see man just continue to grow more and more wicked, and there's a flood, right? And then God kind of resets and begins with Noah's family, but we see that didn't last very long, and here they were at the Tower of Babel, right, being scattered and really just seeing this fallout of all those things. But then God picks a man named Abraham, and he makes a covenant with him, and he says, your descendants are going to be a great nation. And he said, and through your descendants, he said, I'm going to bless all the earth. And we see God working in his family. And then there's a man named Jacob, and we see his 12 sons, Jacob also referred to as Israel, and he'll be the father of this great nation. And when we look at these 12 sons, I want to tell you, they're a messy, sinful mess. And when we look at them, and when we look at the children of Israel, as we walk through the book of Exodus, we're going to look at them, and it's easy to say, you know what, those low-down, rotten scoundrels, I can't believe how awful they are, but I want to remind you, when I look in the mirror, I'm reminded that it's no different here, that we are a messy, sinful people. But thanks be to God, we've got a faithful, covenant-keeping God, and he's faithful even when we are not. And so that kind of sets the backdrop where we are at. Verse 2 names all these sons. We see just this beautiful picture of God at work in verse 5, where we see there's 70 of them, all that are these descendants. They start out in Egypt with 70, and you're going to see later there's a great multitude, right, because of God's faithfulness. Verse 5, that's just this beautiful picture, but then there's a detail that I don't want us to miss, a detail that would be very easy to read by. And the scripture says, but Joseph was already in Egypt. And those of you that know the story, right, this small detail, it's a huge reminder of the providence of God and how he's working for his people through Joseph's hardships, through the pit and the places that he moves, the things that happen to him. God works in such a way that he delivers his people. He works in such a way that it blesses all those that are around him. He leads through a famine, and we see him interpret dreams, and we see God's faithfulness in his life. And at the end of Genesis, after Joseph gone through all kinds of difficult things, Joseph's able to look back. And I can tell you, when he was in the pit, it probably didn't seem this way. When he was in the pit and he's been having dreams, and he's like, you know, that all these tribes are going to bow down, all these things, right? And he's making his brothers mad, and all the stuff's going on, right? When he's in that pit, when he's sold into slavery, when he's going through all that, I can be confident he probably wasn't like, man, I'm feeling blessed right now. Thank you, Jesus, right? I'm sure in those moments he may have wondered, and he may have been in a distant place. But by the end of Genesis chapter 50, he's seen the faithfulness of God. He's seen God working in an incredible way. And in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, he's with his brothers and his family, and he says, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good, and he used it to preserve and save many lives. And he could see that he had a faithful, covenant-keeping God that's at work in the midst of the details. And God is working even when life is tough, even when the moments seem bitter. God is faithful, right? And he is at work. Verse 6, we read, and if you remember our series, when we looked at moments on the mission of God, we see that Joseph died, that all his brothers died, that generation died. And so we understand, and we look at Joseph's life, and we say God used him in an incredible way. And we're so grateful that God used him in an incredible way. But just like Joseph, and just like all those that are in the scriptures, right, we are a moment on the mission of God. And we want to make the most of that moment. We want to live for the glory of his name, but we recognize that the mission of God continues, and it is his work and his faithfulness and his glory. And we see that even though Joseph and all his brothers had died, that God's mission continues and he's still working. Verse 7, the sons of Israel, right, they're fruitful, the scripture says, and they multiplied, and they became this great and exceeding mighty group of people. The land was filled with them, right? God had promised Jacob, right? And you see this 70 people that we saw about early in this chapter, Genesis 46:3. He's telling about the time that they'll be in Egypt, and he says, listen, you can know one thing. He says, I'm going to make a great nation for you there and here. God is faithful, right? And he's a promise-keeping God. He's a covenant-keeping God, and we are seeing the blessing blessings of those things. We're seeing this incredible work. And it's easy, right, for us to skim over this small phrase. Joseph was already in Egypt. But man, it's a great story. And I'm reminded as we read this, right, that details matter. God had used some of the incredible details, the smallest moments for his glory. And sometimes we can get in the midst of the details and we can miss it. Right? Details matter just in life. I'm reminded of that often. I was reminded of that this week. Steve Ramich, one of our members, his wife Julie, she had an appendicitis flare up, and so it was about to rupture, and so they rushed her from the hospital here to another hospital where a surgeon was on call. I get a text from him. I see this early in the morning, and I'm looking at this, and I see it. We're trying to interact, and I knew she was like going into surgery any minute, and so I'm like, hey, I'd love to pray over the phone, FaceTime, anything, whatever. You know, just let me know. And so we figure out like, man, they're wiring her up. They're doing all these things. It's happening quick. That's probably not going to happen. So I send him a little message. And at the end of that message, I said, no, we are praying. Well, I go on about my business, pray for a bit that morning. I'm kind of waiting to hear new things, any updates. I get a little buzz, look at my watch, and I read it. And I'm like, I probably need to get my phone out and see what that says. So I get my phone out and I read it. And it says, when are you due? And that's what I said. It said, when are you due? And I said, what is he talking about? Maybe he sent the wrong person. And then I reread my message and I say, hey, da 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 da. And I said, just know we are pregnant. So I'm sure Steve got a good laugh out of that. He responds back. We kind of kid around about that. I received a prayer request this week. Details matter. I received a prayer request this week, and this person is probably like me, moving quickly in this moment. I get the prayer request, and it says, remember this man. And I'm pretty sure it meant to say precious wife, but it said previous wife in that thing. And so I read it, and I don't know this person, so I don't know the whole history of this thing. So I'm reading this prayer request, and I'm like, I probably need to filter this, right? And I probably need to think about that, because here's what we know, right? We understand that details matter. We see it in our lives, right? But the smallest details where God's working, right? God's work is evident, and we see it in our life if we're able to slow down, right? People ask me, how are you doing? I say, pretty good, as far as I can see. And what I realize is that I can't see very far, right? But we have a God who can, right? We have a God who has a high view, and these details matter, right? These details are important, and I'm reminded of God's provision in the details. His provision was evident in Egypt. As we look at all these details, as we look at his hand at work, as we look at these Israelites growing into a great nation, but God's provision does not mean the absence of problems. Sometimes that's what we might think, right? Sometimes we think just because God's providing that we're never going to have difficult moments, or we're not going to walk in problems. But what we do understand is that God is faithful, and he will sustain us through the hard times. He'll sustain us through the difficult times. We can rely, right, on his provision, right? And we can rest in his preservation, because our God is king. Our God is working, right? This truth, right? God preserves his people. We're going to see this in the weeks to come. We're going to see how, you know, Pharaoh's fearful. He's trying to stop. He's worried they're going to grow, and then they're going to go to war against him. So he's going to stop men, right? He's wanting to destroy these infant babies, these boys that are there. We're going to see, though, God is protecting. God is working. God is preserving. We know in this text, right, there's a new king that raises up. I'm going to keep trying to go quick, but this new king raises up and everything changes for the people. They went from a place of favor. The Bible says that this king did not know Joseph. Now, there had to be some things that he could have known. There had to be some history that would have talked about how God had provided, or how this Joseph had interpreted dreams, how the famine, they had walked through those things, how they made decisions that had sustained the land, rather than sustained these people. But this king rose up and he had forgotten, or he didn't know, or whatever those things are. And there may be people, and some of them might even be us, we forget the faithfulness of God. And there can be people who forget God's hand and how he's moved. But I want you to know, we've got a God who never forgets us. We've got a God who always sees and who always is present. A God who is at work, right? And he's got this plan. He's gonna put them under slavery. He's going to work in a way that they will not be able to his desires to oppress them, so that they will not be able to rebel against him and leave the land. But God never forgets his people, right? And he never forgets his promises. He is a covenant keeping God, and God is at work. Even though Pharaoh is trying to stop this work, God is at work. And even in the hard times, even in oppression, even in the difficult moments of our lives, God is preserving his people, and he is keeping his promises. And if you're in a hard season, I pray this morning you'll be reminded of the faithfulness of our God, that you'll be reminded that he sees you, that you'll be reminded that he's at work, that you'll be reminded that, God can even use the difficult things, right? We have a God who can use the most difficult things in our lives in a way that can be for his glory and for our good, right? God was at work even in their suffering, and he was preparing something in their lives that was going to be incredible. It was on the backdrop of this suffering. It was on the backdrop of this slavery that God's power was going to be made known. It was on the backdrop of these difficult moments that God's presence is going to be mighty, that he's going to reveal himself to them. And he is preparing his people for a great work he's doing in delivering them from bondage, right? So we rely on his provision, right? We rest, right, in his preservation, right? But we respond to his preparation. God is doing a work. God prepares his people. God is at work. In verse 11 to 14, they appoint these taskmasters. There's a difficult place that they're in. They're preparing these cities. They're appointing people over them. They're putting rigorous labor to them. They're going in all kind of these things. Pharaoh in his fear, in his insecurity, right? He's trying to control them, but God is preparing for something greater. What Pharaoh intended for harm, and if you see this beautiful picture, right, what Pharaoh intended for harm, Joseph recognized it in Genesis chapter 50. What all these brothers meant for evil, God meant it for good. God used it for good. God was working in those things. What Pharaoh means for evil, God's going to use it for good. God is at work. God is preparing. God is doing something in an incredible way. And the Israelites' hardship, it's not wasted, right? It's going to serve as this setting, right, where God's power is going to be, and he works through every circumstance. He's trying to squash them out, right? In verse 12, it says, the more they afflicted them, right? The more they afflicted them, the more they came down on them, the more God blessed them. The more they multiplied, the more God's faithfulness was seen. And you see this incredible work that God works in every circumstance. And if you can fly back for a minute, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, there's a greater purpose in your life than the moments that you can see. There's a greater purpose that God is doing. And when we read the scriptures, right, we see that we have a faithful covenant-keeping God. We see that God is at work. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6 that he who began a good work in you is faithful, and he'll see it to completion in Christ Jesus. We understand that God is at work. When we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, positionally, we're made right with a holy God. The Bible would tell us that the blood of Jesus, you know, when we sing that, thank you, Jesus, for the blood of applied, right? Thank you, Jesus. It has washed me white. Though our sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. That's the faithful covenant keeping God. And positionally, we receive the righteousness of Christ, right? It's this great exchange. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says that he who knew no sin became sin. Listen, it was in our place. He took all of our sin and all of our shame. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ and Jesus and our great God, right? That we receive the righteousness of Christ. When God looks at us, he sees us as righteous. And what's true of us positionally, God is working out practically day by day as he conforms us to look more and more like Jesus. The Bible says that God works all things together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. And what we see in the next verse is that this great purpose is part of a greater purpose. And this great purpose is that he would sanctify us and that he would cause us to look more and more like Jesus. And if I'm honest, it's in some of the harder times in my life. It's in some of those difficult moments. It's in those places where God has worked in incredible ways, and we can trust that God is preparing his people. Think about how clay is molded on a potter's wheel. I love looking at pottery that's been made and just how beautiful it is. And when those hands are working on that, when they are pressing in and they are molding and they are working, and when they are shaping that clay, it's not to destroy that clay, but it's to create something purposeful, something beautiful, something incredible in the midst. And some of you are like me, and you've experienced God's faithful work in the hard times. And I want to tell you, there's been hard times that we walk through, but I can testify that my God has been faithful. James would say it this way, right? That we could consider it pure joy, right? All joy. In James chapter 1, we'd see the half-brother of Jesus would say, consider it all joy, the trials of your faith, right? He says, listen, when you encounter these diverse and various trials, he said, count it all joy. Because he says these trials, right, in the next verse, that they're working to produce endurance, right? That they're working in our lives, and that there's purpose and there's things that God's doing. And when this endurance has had its perfect work, that we'll be made complete and not not lacking, right, in anything. That's what God's doing. That's what God's working to do in our lives, right? These trials, they're trails to make us complete in Jesus. And we don't like the trials. We don't want the trials. We don't enjoy the trials. But when we can look back and get that big view, we can see God has been at work in the trials, right? And maybe that's where we're at this morning. Maybe some of you need to trust God in the hard places. It may be a place in your marriage or your family or your work or your health. Things may be feeling overwhelming in these places of pain. I want to tell you, these places can be the backdrop where our faithful God does an incredible work in our lives, where he displays his power, where he displays his faithfulness, where he works when we can't even see it, right? Maybe that's where you're at. And I'm reminded this morning, the same God, the same faithful God that delivers the Israelites, we're going to see it. He is the same faithful God that is working in our lives. And is anybody here, right, found him faithful, right, in the middle of the storms, in the middle of the trials, right? Have you found our God faithful, right? We see his work, and our God is faithful. So what we do, right, the application is the same as the points, right? We rely on his provision, and we understand God is working. And I hope that you can step back and see there's a big picture and you can get that high view, but I hope that you can zoom in low and you can say that in the details of my life, God is at work, that he sees me, and that he's that he is transcendent, and he's above all things, but he is imminent and he is near, that he is working, right? And we read the psalmist say, how is it that he is mindful of me? This is our great God, and we rely on his provision, right? We remember that he is working, and we rest in his preservation. He is faithful, right? We remember his faithfulness in the past when we read about him delivering these Israelites, when we read about his faithfulness to a bunch of messy, no good. One pastor said it's the dirty dozen. That was the 12 leaders of the tribes of Israel. Right? They're a mess. You read in Genesis, listen, you read it and there's no way you can go, hey, God's working in them because of some faithful people. You're going, I can't even believe God uses them. I can't even believe God talks to them. But God made a promise to Abraham. And I want you to know something. It's easy for me to look at the children of Israel and say, listen, that there's low down rotten scoundrels. But I want to tell you something. When I look at the mirror, I understand that we have a faithful God who's working in the lives of a messy, sinful people. And he loves us, right? And I'm so glad that he loves us in our mess, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. Aren't you glad that I'm not who I used to be? Man, I'm so thankful for that, but I'm not who I'm supposed to be. But my God is still working on me, and he's not finished yet. And I remind it often that I'm not where I need to be. But like these Israelites, I've got a faithful God who is working to make me who I ought to be. So I remember his faithfulness in the past, not only in the lives of the Israelites, right? We read in the scriptures of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it'd be good for those of you who are parents and grandparents to sit down with your family and be reminded of the faithfulness of God, not only in the lives of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but the faithfulness of God in the lives of Jason, right, and his family. And we've got a God who has been at work, a God who never sleeps or slumbers, a God who's been faithful even when I'm not. And as I look back on my life, I see it's been a big work that God's had to do. And I can't believe, just like the Israelites are being used to be this great nation and God's going to work through them, I can't believe that God would deliver me, that he would direct me, and then he would dwell with me and allow me to proclaim the good news of his gospel. And it's not because of my faithfulness, it's because of his, because we've got a God, right, that is mighty to save. We remember his provision and we respond to his preparation. If you're in hard times, if you're not, wherever you're at, you need to understand God is at work. And we respond to those difficult moments. In James, in that same chapter, in the context of those verses, James would give us something that we quote all the time. When we're confused and we don't know what to do, we say, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask, because God will give it, right? But I want you to understand, this is in the context of those trials. This is in the context of those moments that James would lean in. And he says, when you're in the middle of that trial and you don't understand what God's doing and you can't see his hand, anyone that lacks wisdom, let him ask. And maybe a prayer today that says, God, what are you doing in my life? Lord, where do you want to conform me to look more like Jesus? Where am I looking like me in the mess of this world? Where do I need to repent of those things and surrender another place in my life that I'm holding on to? Where is it? What is it that you are doing? Listen, these hard places, the burdens, they are places God wants to meet us, to shape us, to work in incredible ways. So trust him in that. God is faithful. He is mighty to save. He is at work. And our story, right, it's a story of a messy people and a faithful God. And our God's faithfulness is not dependent on who we are. It is dependent on who he is. Like the Israelites in Egypt, every one of us, listen, we, apart from Jesus Christ, are in bondage, not to the Pharaoh, but to sin. And we need a deliverer, right? We need someone to free us, someone to rescue us, someone to come and lead us out. And the reality is that none of us can do it on our own, that there's no way that we can do it in our own strength. But God in his mercy, right? We were in bondage of our sin, and God in his mercy sent the great deliverer, Jesus Christ, who entered into the midst of the brokenness and lived a sinless life we couldn't live, died a sinner's death on a cross, right? Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied, right? He says, you took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. That's what Jesus did, right? He stretched his arms out on a cross and he took my place and he took yours, and all who would believe and trust in him, the Bible says that they would be born again into the family of God and receive the righteousness of Christ because of a faithful God who loved us, who stretched his arms on a cross, was placed in a barred tomb and rose from the grave, right? And he responds, or he calls us, all of us, to respond to this gift of salvation, to his grace and to his mercy. And how do we respond? It is in repentance and faith. We repent. That word repent just simply means we turn from our sin. We understand, and sometimes we hit the bottom of the mess, right? These Israelites, it was in bondage that they realized that they needed a deliverer. And some of us are recognizing, we've experienced the conviction of God in our life. The Holy Spirit is allowing us to see the mess that we are in, the sin that is weighing us down, the mess that we are walking in. And we understand when we experience that conviction, we recognize where we're at. We're going our way. We're living in sin. We turn from our sin, trusting in Jesus Christ alone, believing that what Jesus did on that cross, that it was in our place, and that what he did, right? We're resting everything on that, nothing that we've done, but believing that what Jesus did on that cross, it counted for me. And we rest our faith and trust in him. Some of you might be in a place this morning where you need to respond to that grace. We read in the scripture, whoever would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, we heard Tamara's testimony. It's not some words of a prayer. You can repeat them from now until Jesus comes back. And if your heart is not right in that, and your desire and your response to King Jesus is not surrender, they are meaningless words. But listen, when we call on the name of the Lord, we don't have any better understanding or way than to pray and call on his name. And maybe you're here in the condition of your heart is understanding that you are under the bondage of sin, and your response is repentance and faith in Jesus, that you're turning from sin and trusting in him. You can call on his name. You can pray and confess your need for a savior, your bondage that you are in, and your belief that Jesus died on that cross in your place, and that in these moments you are trusting and resting in him, asking him and surrendering your life right to him as Lord and Savior. And listen, the very first step of obedience following that is to enter into baptismal waters, where you boldly declare publicly your faith in Jesus. And maybe some of you are in that kind of place this morning. Listen, I brought another set of clothes because I think we've even got some y'all can wear, right? But here's the thing, right? The life of a Jesus follower is filled with just steps of obedience, day in, day out, trusting in the faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God who loved you and gave himself for you. And so I encourage you to respond this morning. I'm going to pray for us in just a moment. Maybe you're here and you're just weighed down with the burdens of whatever, right? Whatever that is, you fill in the blank. You know the things that you're walking in. Maybe some of you just need to lay those down. Then we had kind of an intro week a season back where we looked at Matthew 11. Jesus said, come all you who are weary and heavy laden. And he said, and you'll find rest. Maybe some of you just need rest, right? We understand we can't carry it. And maybe some of you just need to come this morning, and you can do it from your seat. I found in my life there's something beautiful about this posture on my knees before God, where I'm just saying, God, I trust you with this. And there's this posture of dependence and humility. Maybe some of you need to come and just say, God, I trust you with this. He is faithful in every season. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. God, we thank you for your love. Lord, I pray this morning, God, every person here, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to them. Lord, that we could be reminded of your faithfulness. God, your faithfulness in the past, in our past. And God, because of that, we'll trust you in the present. And we rest everything in the future in your hands. God, we love you. We pray you do what only you can do. And it's in the strong and the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Y'all stand with me.